Why does my mind work that way?
I don't know.
I can write it down on the paper. She can come talk to me. Sean talk to me.
Wait till you get to be my age.
Which is what now? What age is that?
47.
47.
Yeah.
See, when you talk like that, these 78-year-olds are like, I guess he thinks I'm old.
No, they get younger every year.
That's true. Are we ready for a proper welcome? I'd like to introduce to you someone whom I love, a brother from another mother, Mr. Bob Acuff. Come on.
Thank you. I just want you to know how much I appreciate the last 3 months. I appreciate that you were willing as a church to let me spend 3 months with my family and about my own business. And I'm here this morning to give you sort of a position report. But I want to thank you. Thank you to Tim, the elders, and to the body of Christ here for allowing me the time. And we had a good time, didn't we? So thank you so much for that. I do appreciate it. You know, I've had many people ask me, when you're going to Europe, when you're out over the ocean, how to people know where you're at. How come you don't run into other airplanes? And I say, well, we give position reports, and they have to be accurate, and they have to be detailed. Well, I don't know how detailed I'm going to get this morning, but I am going to give you a position report as to where I am and where God has me. So I want you to know that the time was not in vain, that I didn't just take 3 months off and waste that time, because it was a good time. But I did learn some things about myself, and I'm going to share those with you, and hopefully that you see that the Holy Spirit has been working in my life, because that is my desire. My desire this morning is that the Holy Spirit would speak to you and not Bob Acuff. If I didn't feel the anointing of God's power and His Spirit, I'd sit down now. And so this morning I want to share that with you. The bulletin should read lessons from Luke chapter 4 in the last 3 months. So that narrows it down a little bit. But the last 2 months, I've been studying and meditating on Luke chapter 4. It's been an incredible time. Did you know that you could spend 2 months in one book of the Bible and not get to the end of it? Did you know that? I don't know that I did, but you can. The other thing I'd like to do this morning is just give you a little report on our trip to Haiti. There's some here this morning that went with us. Glenn, Evie, it's good to have you here. I was so blessed by our trip to Haiti. You know, I go on those trips so I can get readjusted, so my perspective is readjusted, so I can see that God is good and that He's working in other places in the world in spite of how it looks. Good to see you, Lester. And I was blessed. It didn't look quite like things might come together, but they did. You know, you talk to those that went. It was an incredible experience. We saw the Lord provide. We saw Him work. But I think one of the highlights for me was one evening. It was Friday evening of our trip. We were working at a church in City Soleil. And if you go on the government website for travel, you'll find that City Soleil is the most dangerous place in Haiti, so they say. One of the most dangerous places in the world right now. And this is where we were working on a church that had been damaged in the earthquake. And you know my heart for missions. And not only in other countries, but right here, to our neighbors, to our towns, to our county. But right after the earthquake, I was flying with a crew, and one of the crew members was a Haitian flight attendant, and she was just distraught over her people and what was going on in Haiti. and she was doing everything she could, down to collecting soaps and shampoos from the crew. And every few days she had off, she was down in Haiti trying to help. And it just got next to me. And Ronnie had been to Guatemala with me, and he had been asking me to go to Haiti. And I thought, man, I should go to Haiti with Ronnie. And so I did. And I just really appreciate the work that CFM is doing down there. And just to see God working in the lives of the Haitian people in spite of a lot of despair. You know, the first time somebody asked me, what's it like in Haiti? I said, well, I've never seen that much human suffering and despair in one place. But I also see the hand of God. You know, every morning we would hear the people singing. And we didn't go this time, but we heard them. There was a tent, a huge tent full of 500 Haitians every morning at 6 o'clock, singing and praising and praying. It's incredible. And the one Friday night, we went to the church in City Soleil that we were working at, and there's a number of young men in the church. What were there, about 20 that showed up that night, Glenn? Ronnie? There's about 20 young men that showed up on a Friday night at 8 o'clock to sit and talk and share with these seven Blancs from the U.S. They call us, we're white people, so they call us Blancs. And we had a great time. I was just so blessed by these young men that were hungry to hear what our perspective was on the Word of God. They were anxious to pray for us. They were anxious for us to lay hands on them and pray for them. And we were there, probably 4 hours before we finally said, well, we better get to sleep. And so they pulled out mattresses and old mattresses and blankets, and we slept right there on the stage in the church with them. And, you know, it occurred to me that that's what they desire. They don't desire us so much coming down there and doing things for them. They want our input into their lives. Because that's what's most important, isn't it? But I was blessed. So that's one of the things that we did. And I encourage any of you that would like to go, man, we're gonna go again. So thank you for the time to be able to do that also. All right, Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 is an incredible, incredible account of the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. And I want to give you a short overview, and then I'm going to share with you four things that God has shown me in these last 3 months and from the book of Luke chapter 4. The Bible says this: Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." And the rest of that verse in Deuteronomy 8 says, "But by every word that comes from the mouth of God." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord. One of the things that I learned in this last 3 months is that I don't like to be led. I don't like to be led. You know, God gives us character traits that ultimately are for his glory, for his purpose. But some of those traits play into our weaknesses. I don't like to be led. The Bible says in the first chapter of Luke 4 that when Jesus returned from the Jordan, he was full of the Holy Spirit. Now, to be full of something, you have to be empty of yourself, don't you? To be full of something, you have to be empty. I found something else true about myself. I don't like to be empty of myself. In fact, I've made a lot of decisions in my life based on myself and how I feel and how I think and how I see things and how I see other people and how I perceive. I've made a lot of decisions in my life, and I'm thankful for the grace of God, because in spite of some of those decisions, he's turned it into good. And God has an incredible power to do that in our lives. But what does it mean to be empty? What does it mean to be empty of ourselves? How do we become empty? And that's one of the things that I've been trying to discover. You see, I've been a Christian 31 years now. Some of you remember when I first came into this community and how I was saved and how Mark came and shared the gospel with me and led me to the Lord, and God allowed me to come into his home. I've been a Christian for 31 years, and I've been making the majority of my life decisions based on what I think. Now, that isn't always a bad thing. It's not always a bad thing, is it? But we need to be empty of ourselves. Being empty of ourselves sometimes hurts because we have to humble ourselves. We have to die to ourselves. We sang this morning about what Jesus has done for us. He was empty of himself, and he was full of the Holy Spirit. He returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the desert. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look at a desert, that doesn't look like a place that I'd like to be led to. It doesn't look like my favorite choice of destinations. How many of you plan a family vacation and say, well, let's go into the desert? It doesn't work that way, does it? We want to go somewhere where we can relax, where we can be taken care of, where we can be pampered. That's what a vacation is, right? But Jesus came back full of the Holy Spirit, and he was led into the desert. I don't like to be led. You know, one of the other things that God has been showing me that was really tough for me to take, I shared a little bit of this in Haiti, is that I haven't learned to eat off my own plate. And I've really been wrestling with that. And let me explain that to you. You know, when I first started dating Diane in college, her friends thought it was real cute that I would reach over and take stuff off her plate and eat it. Now, why they thought that was cute, I don't know. I noticed that, you know, Glenn and Evie did a little bit of that in Haiti. They're still really enamored with whatever each other does, just like Diane and I were. But, you know, after 30 years, church, after 30 years, or after 23 years of being married, it's not as cute as it was back then. You know, if I reach over and take something off my wife's plate now, I might come back with a few fingers missing. It's not as cute as it used to be. And we as believers, as followers, as disciples of Jesus, need to learn to eat off our own plate. And you know what? This morning we had an incredible time of Spirit-led worship. But you know what, church? If I don't experience that on my own with Jesus, then I'm not learning to eat off my own plate. If you don't have times like that at the feet of Jesus in your closet, if you don't desire those times, then you're not learning to eat off your own plate. You know, there were times, it wasn't like the Lord appeared in a cloud or a lightning bolt hit me or anything like that. It's just that the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, spoke to me and said, Bob, you know what? I've entrusted a congregation to you. I've entrusted people who love me to you. And if you don't learn to eat off your own plate and feed on what I give you and only what I give you, then it's not always going to be relevant. The timing's not going to be right when you share that with those people that I love, that I've entrusted you to teach and to pastor and to shepherd and to pray for and to love on. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me break it down a little bit. You know, so often when I was given a topic or I would come to the Word to preach, I would go to a commentary or I would listen to what one of them, and hey, don't hear me say that this is not to do this, because as Tim shared with me the other day, it shows our humility and our willingness to be easy to be entreated and taught when we listen to godly men. There are godly men and women that God has raised up to teach the Word, and that should be a part of our diet. But see, that's someone else's plate, okay? It can be good, but it shouldn't be the staple of our diet, okay? What God wants from us is to be hungry and thirsty for what he has for us, for what the Spirit has for us. Because as we see in this passage here, as we see the enemy take Scripture and twist it to say what he wanted, to get Jesus to do what he wanted, it's so easy to take the Word of God and think logically to the wrong conclusion. We can get to the wrong place if we don't expose ourselves to the counsel and the wisdom and the teaching of the Holy Spirit before we go to other places. You see, we go to our daily bread book. We go to a commentary. We go to a podcast. Or we go to a conference. And all those things are good. Don't hear me saying they're not. But I want to challenge you this morning, church, to learn to eat off your own plate. Learn to take the Word and go into your closet and say, Holy Spirit, I need something from you this morning. I need to hear from you this morning. I desire this more than anything. And you know what? Like I said, it wasn't like, you know, God appeared in a vision to me. The Holy Spirit said to me, Bob, you have relied on others way too long. You need to let me teach you. And man, it's sweet. It's sweet. You know, I think my wife might think that I love you, dear. Man, I have a good wife. Yes, I do. One of the other things that I've learned in the last 3 months is that I don't like to be alone. I don't like to be alone. How many of you like to be alone? You like to be alone. You know, I remember when Andy took me out to the high country, as he calls it, and it is high country, and that first day I figured I was going to show him what good shape I was in, so I lit out up the top of the mountain, and he about had to carry me back. But I did beat him to the top. The bad thing was is when we'd spent 4 hours hiking to the top of this mountain, here come some guy in his Jeep wondering if this road went into town. We're like, man, that isn't right. We spent 4 hours hiking up here, and here he is driving his Jeep up here. Anyway, that wasn't the point. The point is that one night, the guys all went out in their different directions, and I was there at camp by myself. I said, you know, I told him, I'm just going to spend the evening here with the Lord, and I'm going to, you know, man, the setting was awesome, wasn't it? I mean, the view was incredible. Our Creator was glorified in his creation. And yet, as it got dark and it got later and later and the guys didn't show up, man, I started, man, when are my buddies going to show up? You know, I really don't like being alone. And I think that is a problem that a lot of us Christians have. We don't like being alone. We default to someone else. Now listen, that's not a bad thing. We need each other. We need each other. That's why God gave us the relations he gave us. That's why he made the family before the church. But you know what? We need to love being alone with Jesus. We need to desire that. You know, there were times when I would get up and start to head out the door during this 3 months without getting out on the porch or getting in my little corner and opening the Word. And because I asked for this, the Lord gave it to me. He said, Bob, in that still small voice, are you going to leave this morning? Are you going to leave this morning without getting in my presence? I got something for you this morning. You're not going to be equipped for the day. You're not going to be equipped for the decisions and for the situations that I have in front of you today unless you get alone with me. And we see this so many times in the life of Jesus. Jesus was led into the desert, and he was alone with God. I don't believe Jesus was led, and some, you can, this, okay, what I expect, listen, part of eating off of your own plate is you to take what I share this morning, and this week you meditate on it, and you think about it, and you read, and you say, well, is that really what the text was saying? Is that really how I should interpret that? Is that what the Holy Spirit has for me in that? See, that's what Don't take what Tim and I or anyone else says at face value. You examine it to see whether it's from God, to see whether it's anointed by the Holy Spirit and what it has for you. You see, so I would take those things that God had for me and say, Lord, what's in this for me today? What's your purpose in this today? And I'll tell you what, when you get comfortable with being alone with God in the presence of the Holy Spirit, it's a beautiful thing. Do you long for those times, church? Or are you quick to check that box like I was? Well, I got that done now. Boom. Let's get to my to-do list. You know, the amazing thing to me about the beginning portions of this scripture is how the enemy is a master of deception. He's a master of lies. He can make things that are ultimately will be detrimental to us look so good. And I'll give you an example. Because one of the other things that God has taught me in this last 3 months is how to dream and vision cast spiritually. Now, I never knew how to do that before. I never did it. You see, I was so caught up in my own little kingdom, the things that I had authority over. And let me explain that to you. You know, the enemy came to Jesus and he said, all the kingdoms of this world and all authority has been given to me. And if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give them to you. Isn't that how Jesus, how the enemy works with us? You see, it's interesting, and this is for another sermon, but it's interesting how in the following chapters and books of the Bible that Jesus, who primarily at this time came for a spiritual kingdom, but he healed people physically and he met physical needs just to let the enemy know that he had it wrong. Amen? And he still does that today. He still does that today. But one of the things that I realized is that I'm real good at vision casting and dreaming about an earthly kingdom. And I'll give you an example of that. You see, everything has to be just right for me to relax. And, you know, the pictures on the wall have to be straight. My lawn has to be mowed. The leaves have to be raked. You know, I walked out of my house this morning and down the sidewalk and there's leaves and sticks everywhere. I didn't stop to pick one stick up. It just really didn't bother me, you know, because I have spent so much time dreaming about how my little kingdom should be. You know, my house ought to look like this. This bar isn't quite good enough. I'd really be nice to have a heated shop. Or, man, if I just had my lawn looking like this, if I just had this and this and this and this, man, God help me. Now, there's nothing wrong with having things at all. That's not what I'm saying. But I've never learned to dream spiritually and say, God, what if this marriage was healed? And how can I pray into that? How can I help that situation? What if our church was able to do this in our community? And how can I facilitate that? How can I make that happen? What if this relationship was healed? What if I allowed God to really be my redeemer and make things as though they never were? Amen? What if I really allowed that in my life? What if I allowed God to do what he so wants to do for me and redeem me? You see, I've never lived like God is my redeemer. I've never lived that way. Yes, I understand that. I understand it. I believe it. I've never really learned to live like God loves me in spite of what I do. And I'm learning how to live that way. And I'm telling you, it's like somebody's taken a 3,000-pound sack off my shoulders. Now, have I arrived? No. I said I'd give you an honest position report. Do I still struggle? Yes. You know, and I'll be very honest with you. There were times in this 3 months that I thought, wow, man, it would be just nice to have my job and just take care of my family and do my thing. But you know what, church? The Spirit of God kept drawing my heart back to here. The Spirit of God kept drawing my heart back to here and the work at Canon. You know why? Because we see in this chapter here, and I know time is short, so I'm sort of giving you the high view. We see how Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert, and I believe primarily to prepare for the start of his ministry, because he knew he was God. He knew what he was going to face. And he went to his hometown then of Nazareth, and he went into the temple, as was his custom. You see, they knew him there. That's where he attended. He came. That would be like me coming back to Canon Mennonite Church and standing up and opening the scroll and saying, I have been anointed to preach the good news. And they were going, wait a minute. This guy sounds good. It sounds good, but isn't he Joseph's son, the carpenter? And you know, Jesus had him going there, but that wasn't enough. He had to go on and tell them about the time in Elisha's time when the Spirit of God bypassed the nation of Israel and went to the Gentiles. And Jesus was telling them how it was going to be, and they were incensed. And the Bible says they pushed him out to the brow of the hill where the town was built, and they wanted to throw him off. Now, I remember the first time I preached in my hometown. It wasn't one of my greatest, but they didn't want to throw me off the hill when I was done. And that's what Jesus was up against. But you know what? It didn't stop him. See, if it would have been me, I probably would have stayed around to try and convince people that they really did like me and they really did like what I had to say. And I would have tried to convince them how they were wrong. But Jesus didn't do that. He went to the next town, which was Capernaum. And there they wanted to give him the keys to the city. There they didn't want to let him leave. But Jesus said, I have to go to others, the other towns and cities, because that's why I was called. And church, I'm convinced that God has called my family and our church family here to others. And so even though it would be nice to circle the wagons and live in my own little perfect world where the grass is mowed and the leaves are raked and everything's neat and all the pictures on the wall are straight, somehow I don't see how that counts for eternity. Now please, I'm speaking to me. There's nothing wrong with having nice houses and places, but if that's where we go to get our security, if that has to be right, and we don't learn to vision cast in the spiritual realm and let the Holy Spirit lead us, we're going to live empty lives. We're going to leave empty lives. So the things that I've learned, I don't like to be led, and I don't like to be empty of myself. I haven't really learned to eat off my own plate spiritually. And as God has been teaching me to do that, boy, has it been rich. Man, has it been good. Wow. Job said, I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. Is that where you're at this morning, church? Is that your desire? You know, this morning as we sang and I was blessed, and man, it was so good to be back here. I haven't been here in over a month. You know, I just heard the Holy Spirit saying, let us not worship you with just our lips, but with our hearts also. I don't want the Holy Spirit to say about me, yeah, you worship me with your lips. It sounded good, but your heart was far from me. You see, I want our hearts to be drawn because that's what God desires. He desires our hearts, and he wants us to worship him, not out of obligation or because that's what we are supposed to do, but because that's our conscious choice and desire. That's what he wants. You know, it's amazing to me again how the enemy used the scriptures. It's so important that we learn to eat off our own plate. You know, the Pharisees and the scribes thought they knew the scriptures. They thought they had a command on what God was trying to say. And yet Jesus said to them, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But they speak of me. You see, the point of the scriptures are Jesus. If you're not seeing Jesus in the scriptures, then you're missing it. It's not about what we do or say or how we act. So learn to eat off your own plate and learn to dream spiritually. And the last thing in closing that I've learned is this. In at the beginning of this little journey in Odyssey, my wife gave me four verses to meditate on. And I'm only going to share one of those this morning. And she said, Bob, I really believe you need to internalize these. They're for you. You need to get alone with these verses and find out what the Lord is trying to say with you. And one of those verses is Philippians 1:12. And it says, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. You see, I've had a hard time reconciling my life experiences with the truth of God. And I've been angry and bitter about it. But the truth is, church, whatever God allows into our lives by his sovereign will is to advance the gospel. And yes, he loves us, despite of what we may think. There are many things in your lives and mine that we could go, God, what is your purpose in this? Why? But you know what, church? God still loves us. And the fact that he's sovereign and he allows bad things into the lives of the people that he loves does not make him love us any less. And we have to remember that those things are for the advance of the gospel. The advance of the gospel, the good news. Because it's all about Jesus, isn't it? Yeah, the enemy was right. He has been given some authority. He has been given power. But we know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We know that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. We know those things. And church, I want to start living like that. I want to start walking in those truths. I want to start living and acting and breathing and reacting like God loves me, and that he's sovereign and he's good, and that what he allows into my life is for the furtherance of the gospel. Amen? So I challenge you, learn to desire and hunger after those times alone so you can learn to eat off your own plate, so you can learn to dream spiritually and vision cast and say, God, what if you would do this? And how can I be a part of that? And how can I pray that into existence? And learn to know that God loves you, and you don't have to work your way back to him. You don't have to be like the prodigal son and work your way back in spite of the things that he has allowed by his sovereign permissive will into your life. He still loves you. And when our experience in his word doesn't match up, his word is truth. God bless you. I love you. And I wish you well.
I transition now into our time of praying with and for each other. This time is a time for those of you who have special needs to come up and get prayer, but let me encourage you to not think to yourself, hey, my week was okay, I don't need prayer. That's silly talk. And let me encourage you not to say, hey, I don't see anyone here who's limping through life with a serious wound, I'm not going to bless anybody. That's nonsense. The congregation around you can benefit greatly from having somebody, even on a half-decent week, come up to them and speak the blessing and love of God into their life in a prayer. There's a spiritual transfer that happens when God's saints pray with and pray for one another that's hard to quantify. It's hard to quantify. So my encouragement every single Sunday here is that, excuse me, I'm sorry to be in your way, sir. I realize you're very important, but so I really want us to get a hold of this, that it's almost like the best part of the service to me. When we get to, I'm on the prowl when I show up at church for folk to pray for. I really, really want you to feel the same way. It's It's almost better than getting prayed for, is the opportunity to see someone's heart connecting with Jesus as you pray. So I'm not going to force you, but man, come on. So stand. Joe and Tasha need to get up here right away. That's what they need to do. Stand. Bobby, tell me if I got this right. I'm going to change your words. I like to be led by the Holy Spirit. I like to be empty of myself if it's to be filled with Jesus. I'm learning to eat off my own plate. I'm hungry and thirsty for what Jesus wants to say to me. I'm learning to be excited about being alone with Jesus. He's got something for me. I'm learning how to dream and how to vision cast spiritually. It's exciting. I want to come near to God with my lips and my heart. God longs for that. I want to live like God loves me, like God is good, and like God is strong enough to further the gospel through the bad things that happen to me. Let's pray for each other.
More than enough for all of me, for every thirst, every need, you satisfy me with your